Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
Welcome to the Property Exchange podcast. This time, the best value areas to buy a home under £500,000 if you're going house hunting this autumn. In this episode, we're looking at the places where you can buy a family home for under £500,000. Some of them are surprising locations. A new study by Winkworth shows that this is still possible in London and that elsewhere this amount can secure you a substantial property. Why a £500,000 limit? This is the typical budget of many home buyers, but we've got another angle. This summer there's been a great deal of speculation about the contents of the budget on November the 26th. According to at least one rumour, the government would like to replace stamp duty, which is paid by buyers, with one on properties priced at £500,000 or more, which would be paid by the seller. All this talk of reform is, of course, just a rumour, but it's brought into sharp focus the value that is on offer in so many locations. They include the London Borough of Haringey and the elegant Regency town of Royal Leamington Spa. In both areas, you could buy a family forever home for under £500,000 and maybe avoid an extra tax as a bonus. With me to take a closer look at this topic are Charles Owen of Winkworth, Jake Struble from Winkworth Haringey, and by Nick Martini-Roberts of Winkworth Royal Leamington Spa. Thank you for joining me. First to you, Charles. We're going to take a closer look into this Winkworth research into the best value locations. And this shows very strongly that £500,000 still goes a very long way in lots of places. The average price in London is £561,000, but you can still get on the ladder for £500,000 in Kensington and Chelsea, believe it or not. And in the outer boroughs, you can get a family house with a reasonable amount of space. Can you just fill in some of the details?
Thanks, Anne. Yeah, you're correct. The average London house is £561,000, so £500,000 sits just below the city's typical price. However, with the changes in the market in prime central London, which we deem as anywhere touching the park, we're now seeing prices drop one and two bed flats to around £550,000, £500,000. So if you wanted to buy in prime central London, there is now an opportunity to get flats, one, two beds, below £600,000, £550,000, £500,000, if that's where you want to be. But if you want to move further afield, Barking and Dagenham are around £360,000, and that can stretch to a three-bed family home. And in the outer boroughs, like Croydon, the average is £405,000, and £500,000 commonly covers a terraced house with space for a family.
So actually, people, if they can raise a deposit, should start thinking about getting out there and looking for a home. Now, say if I don't want to buy in London, the average house nationwide is about £269,000. So you're going to be able to get a great deal for your money.
So if you've got a £500,000 budget in the northeast, that'll get you roughly 2,000 square foot of house with big garden, driveway for many cars and close to plenty of amenities compared to under 900 square foot in London. In Manchester, where the average price is £242,000, or Newcastle, the average detached is £395,000, £500,000 would typically secure you a large four-bedroom detached home with a garden. So plenty of opportunities for families moving out there.
So you could have Kensington and Chelsea for £500,000, but you could also have like a little mini mansion in Newcastle with a drive, garages, whatever. Now, for many people, the dream is the coast, Cornwall. What could I get there for my £500,000?
Well, post-pandemic, Cornwall was obviously widely publicised as where a lot of Londoners were moving out to get their second home. But the average home is actually 273,000, and even a detached house averages 420,000. So 500,000 buys a decent enough family home, and sometimes even with sea views.
Now, Cotswold, which became this summer the hippest rural place in Britain, maybe, my 500,000, would I be able to secure a bolt hole there?
Well, I think the Cotswolds has been widely publicised. Ellen DeGeneres has bought two houses there and one's now up for sale. She didn't last too long in the first one. She thought she'd go bigger. But in areas like Bath, 398,000 is the average. Or as you say, Cotswold, 419,000 is the average. So 500,000 would get you character, cottage or period home compared with just a small flat in K&C.
So there's hope out there, provided you've got a deposit. And are you seeing people coming in and saying, look, this looks like a buyer's market anywhere. What can you show me?
Yeah, I think from our offices in Prime Central London and maybe even across London as well, it certainly has flipped to a buyer's market, and vendors are realising that they have to price accordingly and that it's become so price specific. But people are now, you know, first time buyers are looking at the value that they can get in London, and they've got their choice of areas. So they're much more picky about where they might be. And they know that ultimately when they go to offer that there may not be that much competition.
So, time to get house hunting this autumn, and let's think about where we could go. Now, first, we're going to Haringey with Jake. Tell us more about Haringey. It's a borough. What areas lie within that borough?
So Haringey is a pretty diverse borough, actually, split into a couple of parts. To the west, you've got Muswell Hill, Crouch End, which I guess need no introduction, really. Most people know where they are. To the north, Wood Green, Turnpike Lane, which are sort of heavily Eastern European dominated, with lots of eateries, lively high streets, lots going on, actually, lots to do, great transport links too. To the east, Tottenham, Seven Sisters, which is probably one of the fastest rising London boroughs in terms of new people moving in from other places in London at the moment, as far as I know anyway. And to the south of Haringey, we've got Central Haringey itself, sits just at the north end of Finsbury Park, which is quite heavily Turkish dominated, actually. Lots of Turkish eateries, lots of new cool cafes opening up as well. But lots going on in every corner.
You can hear the stomachs rumbling because we're all thinking of all the different things we could eat in Haringey. Now, obviously, prices vary a great deal because we've got some upmarket areas, Muswell Hill, but we've also got some more affordable areas. I've got a £500,000 budget. What would it buy for me?
You could buy a flat almost in every part of Haringey, actually. Muswell Hill, you pick up one beds. Crouch End, similar. Central Haringey, you could buy yourself a nice two-bedroom garden flat. Wood Green, in some areas, you actually buy a very cute workman's cottage, little two-bedroom house. Tottenham, certain parts, especially sort of North Tottenham, as you get into Bruce Grove, Northumberland Park, or start to border sort of the wetlands with Walthamstow, you can buy a really nice three-bedroom house, good garden, good schools. It's something for everyone.
You were telling me earlier there's a great new name for Tottenham. What is that again?
Well, Tottenham split into two halves. So you've got North Tottenham, which is predominantly Bruce Grove, Northumberland Park, and South Tottenham, which has now been dubbed by a lot of new people moving in as Soto.
An area isn't an area until it's got a new chic name.
Absolutely.
You mentioned earlier the transport is really good.
Yeah.
From every single part of the borough, almost.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got Great Northern from Haringey, which goes straight into town. We've got Piccadilly, Victoria Lines, easy access to Heathrow, to Stansted. You get to Cambridge from Tottenham Hale. Doesn't really matter where you are. It's easy to get everywhere.
So you could actually work in Cambridge and live in Tottenham Hale?
Absolutely.
The most upwardly mobile part of your borough seems to be Seven Sisters. Just why is that?
I think predominantly because of the areas surrounding it. I mean, you've got Stoke Newington, Dalston just to the south. You've got Walthamstow to the east. And I think for people, especially during the pandemic, when everyone was sort of on this drive for, properties that provided a bit of longevity,
yes,
where they could have outside space, they could have families. It was the only place where you could really sort of afford to get into, but still not pay through the roof, with uncertainty of people losing jobs and stuff like that. So there felt like there was a bit more security.
So you've got a garden, but now people are going back to the office. You can get there pretty easily.
Absolutely.
What line is Seven Sisters on?
Victoria.
So perfect.
Yeah.
Up to Oxford Circus. I bet it didn't take you long to get here this morning, did it?
Not at all.
And that is what people are looking for, with more requirements to get back into the office. Touched on Tottenham, it's a real hotspot, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a really key market for us, especially these last 5 years. We actually sell more property there than sort of any other postcode that we work in. We're just over 200 sales for the year so far, and I think 140 of them, there or thereabouts, are in N15 and N17, which are like the real prominent Tottenham postcodes.
Why are people so excited? What exactly does Tottenham offer?
I think it's just reminiscent of what Stoke Newington and Dalston was sort of 10, 15 years ago. It's just a new place where people can come together and sort of start to build a community. There's parks, there's transport, there's good places to go and eat and drink. There's something for everyone. And with property values still at a level where most people can afford to get in, whether that be, you know, a one-bedroom flat or a very nice five-bedroom house extended every way, it's a really good spot.
Do you know, you even mentioned to me earlier you may be thinking of having an office in Tottenham.
Yeah, it's such a key market for us. We are actually opening an office in Tottenham. All things going to plan, we should be open end of October, but definitely by the end of the year.
Now, are people that are coming in to see you thinking about maybe renting, buying, are they talking about tax? Are they talking about the budget?
Not really at the moment. We've had a lot of talks recently on mortgage rates. I think that's sort of been the predominant topic of discussion. I think no doubt now this has started to come out in the press that we'll start to hear more about what it might mean, more so for sellers and I think for buyers. I imagine some level of buyers are quite excited about it. Sellers are probably quite nervous about it. But it's not a huge part of the conversation at all.
So it's more about mortgage rates, and people are, relatively speaking, able to secure the finance they want.
Seemingly fairly easily. I think, once again, we're quite fortunate that we have maybe some of the sort of lower end of values of properties of areas around us. But we have buyers coming from, you know, Stoke Newington, where they're looking at two-bedroom flats for £800,000, moving into our area and buying three-bedroom houses for significantly less. So it doesn't really seem to see that affordability is an issue at all.
There's an awful lot of gloom always about the property market, but when you actually speak to people on the ground, the mood can be very, very different. And that makes me think we should be talking to you now, Nick. Leamington Spa, gorgeous town, Regency terraces, very convenient. What's on the minds of the people who are coming to your offices to look for a place?
Well, we're incredibly blessed, Anne, to be down there in Leamington Spa. I think it's interesting because a town like Leamington, with its connectivity into central London, is one of the things that we're finding, you know, are just how attractive we are sort of fluctuates with how expensive London becomes. You know, we've got sort of Regency architecture and a lot of aspirational housing for Londoners, especially. An hour and 15 minutes down the train to get into Leamington is pretty easy. I mean, I left home at 7:30 this morning and I was having a cup of coffee on Marylebone High Street at 9:20. So it's very, very easy for us to be able to get in. And I think we're seeing a lot of people kind of, you know, coming down for what I refer to as relative affordability. We're not the cheapest place in the world, but what you're able to get is far, far, far greater than what you're trading in for your two-bedroom Zone 3 flat in central London.
Jake was really selling Haringey and you're really selling Royal Leamington Spa. So I have my 500,000 budget. What would it get me?
Well, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't sell Leamington Spa effectively, Anne. But it's, you know, £500,000, a really healthy budget down where we are in Leamington Spa. So, you know, you've got your choice of where you want to be as much as anything else. You know, look, there's no two ways about it. You're not going to get your five-bedroom Regency townhouse on a garden square. But, you know, up in North Leamington Spa and areas like Milverton, close to good schools and sort of bordering onto Warwick, you'll get yourself a really nice three-bedroom Victorian terraced home with a decent garden, an easy walk into the centre of Leamington Spa. If you wanted to go right into the heart of town, you'll get yourself a lovely apartment, three-, four-bedroom apartment in a Regency townhouse. Move up to Covington, Lidington, a little bit further out from central Leamington, but still a 20-minute walk or so. You'll find a four-bedroom, semi-detached home, while sort of some of the more new-build developments towards the M40 down towards Heathcote, you'll get yourself a four-bedroom detached house. While, you know, up-and-coming areas such as Whitnash, you've got the pick of the bunch, really.
So it goes a long way. And do you think people are perceiving currently that your area offers transport, great architecture, and a relative affordability?
I think so. I think we're seeing that Leamington's often referred to as Little London, and I think that's mainly by the Londoners who have moved out there to sort of keep themselves current. But I think what we get is a lot of what Jake talked about. You know, we've got a lot of culture on our doorstep. We're famous for our botanical gardens and parks, but we've got the Regency side of Leamington Spa coupled with the historic, almost Tudor side of Warwick. The two towns are interconnected. But yes, very much so. People are coming down there. They're sort of, it's an opportunity for families to move on coming to Leamington. We see a lot of young families, young professionals starting life here. We see an affluent but slightly older first-time buyer, for example. Our average age for first-time buyers is around 32. Those who've been renting, unable to get on the ladder in London, taking advantage of that sort of hangover from COVID, that two-day-a-week down the Chiltern Railways into central London, to sort of find a home that they can stay in for the next sort of 10, 15 years.
But if your boss had ordered you back into the office 4 or 5 days a week, it's possible, isn't it? You could just about do that every day. Do quite a lot of people do that?
Well, I'd be very disappointed to have such a wicked boss to bring me back into the office like that. But yeah, we find an awful lot of people are doing that. The trains are busy. It's an affordable line, which is a really important point. You know, you're not paying 160 quid, £180 return like you are if you're in the centre of the Cotswolds. But so we find a lot of people doing the 3-day commuting week and sort of being able to work home from Mondays and Fridays. It's little things that make a big difference. Good sized gardens. We're finding the cost of garden offices significantly coming down, and gone are the sort of the caravans of David Cameron's Cameron's lovely Cotswold home. But these garden rooms are giving people a new lease of life in their properties, making the ability to be able to stay there longer, and having that extra space makes a big difference.
Do people who've lived in Leamington, Lem as they call it, if you are at Warwick University, do they love it so much that they stay on after they graduate?
Well, it's interesting because transient's the wrong term, because a lot of people come and stay, exactly like you say. We've got a lot of industry in Leamington. So we've got Jaguar Land Rover and Aston Martin factories just up the road at Gaydon. So a lot of the town is built around the demand for that. We then obviously have the new gaming industry that is sort of, Leamington is now called Silicon Spa, which is not a name that us estate agents dubs, but it was from other people, as well as the National Grid and easy commuting into Birmingham and London. So we're finding a huge amount of people sort of coming down here, perhaps for work or something like that, and staying. We've got a huge number of outstanding schools, good local independent schools, as well as good local state schools. So people are building their lives around the area and staying sort of very close around when they've sort of settled.
Sort of thinking you maybe don't have quite the eating variety that Jake can offer in Haringey.
Well, I don't know. I'm quite a good cook. We could sort of perhaps do a few different bits and pieces, but certainly not the sort of full variety. We have certainly a significant sort of South Asian influence and a lot of wonderful cooking there. And, you know, it doesn't take too far to sort of go into some fine dining eateries in the North Cotswolds, which is just on our doorsteps. But a nice variety. Coffee shops. There's a lot of things happening in Leamington. We've got the Leamington Food Festival, for example, which we were lucky enough to sponsor last year and sample an awful lot of their delights. But Leamington's got a really good festival culture, a lot of free opportunities for people to come and get involved, and certainly culinary aspects are at the heart of that.
So Silicon Spa and a slightly less funky version of Haringey. Thank you both for those tours, but I'm not going to be able to let you go before I ask you a question. It's a serious one, which is linked to what this podcast is all about, the rumour that they could replace stamp duty with a tax on cellars. First to you, Charles, is there an argument for replacing stamp duty with a different kind of property tax?
I think what everybody's got to remember is that stamp duty is ultimately a tax on London, where the average price in the UK is 269,000. Stamp duty doesn't really affect most people. So where it affects is London. And so I do think there's an argument for a change in the stamp duty regime. It's currently basically frozen the market in London. But, you know, it's got to be thought through cleverly and not just a grab. So is it doesn't have wider implications for slowing down the market even more. People aren't moving as much as they used to, particularly in London, due to the relative costs of moving. So we'll see what they do. But I hope it's considered and thought through.
Considered and thought through. That's a big ask, maybe. Jake, what's your view on this topic?
I think to a point, if something isn't necessarily broken, it shouldn't really need fixing. I mean, stamp duty is it's almost a given now when it comes to buying a property, and most people just expect to pay it. I think part of the fear actually is passing that on to sellers will do one thing, and it's drive up the barrier to entry for a lot of people, because sellers will want to try and swallow some of that additional cost that they're going to have to pay for selling their property in the first place. And in a world where sort of property is, I don't know, teetering on the unaffordable for lots of people, no doubt it just makes things worse.
Nick,
I'm unfortunately going to sit on the fence and put a foot in both camps here. I think both make valid points. I think one of the things that we find as well is sort of, while it does penalise those in London overwhelmingly, it also sort of penalises families coming together as well. Young couples, you know, perhaps with one property buying a second and want to do it in a joint name, find it a really difficult barrier to be able to get over. There is a need for reform within stamp duty to try to sort of reduce the burden on so many people buying. But lucky I'm not in Westminster trying to sort it out myself.
Well, I only hope that in Westminster they approach it in such a considered, thoughtful manner. Thanks for that, and thanks for all the insights on this tour that we've been on what you can get for 500,000. Charles, Jake and Nick, thank you for joining us. And if you've been listening, do subscribe and join us for next month's podcast.
This has been the Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.